Is this really the end, or is it a new beginning, a new reality?
Thomas Torero podcast 142 on the Black Sheep Bandit, opening with the sound of a crackling wood-burning stove. You can hear it in the background because I've got the stove up and running. There's a roaring fire here inside the van. The van is 99% complete. I've got it from Cambridge, where it was being fitted out, back to Wales for the finishing touches, loading it up, getting ready, despite this bitter cold here in the UK, for the big off. So that's the topic of today, the meaning of Black Sheep Bandit. Of course, how it relates to day game and dating, but also how it relates to my lifestyle and possibly yours right now or in the future. But it's been a mad dash, so forgive a bit of a lack of content, although I've kept up with the podcasts and at least one video a week and some Instagram stuff. But once I'm on the road and once I'm back to me seducing, then there'll be lots more coming your way. But it's been a mad dash, quite literally, as I said, going from here to Cambridge, back to here, going here, there and everywhere, picking up different pieces. Because even though the van was done by Neville and Leon and some other guys in Cambridgeshire, in terms of the woodwork and the electrics and the la-di-da-di-da, all the little bits and bobs, and to get it roadworthy for Europe, which is a whole different ballgame, because it's a right-hand drive British vehicle. That's what's taken up my time this week. And on top of that, you might remember last time I was telling you about me dodgy eye, like the Elephant Man, all swollen, very sexy. Well, after this conjunctivitis that I had, it went from viral to bacterial, if you can imagine some glorious pus, and then my left vision just disappeared. It went, it was black, as in blackout, and then blurry, and it's still, it's about 75% clear, but yeah, losing my vision and having the doctor say, yeah, it could be 2 or 3 months. I was like, fuck, 2 or 3 days, 2 or 3 months, but luckily I've gotten over it quite quickly. So apart from hobbling around, I had my eye and I was thinking, fuck, will I get to Europe? Will I ever day game again? Will I be able to pick up the van and start? But hopefully, if you haven't seen Black Sheep Bandit episode 1 on YouTube, then stop the podcast and go and watch that, because that explains my backstory and fascination with vans, how I acquired this van, how it was kitted out in the beginning, and right at the end it shows me, or rather you hear me speaking to Neville saying I'm going to go and pick it up. So that's what happened on Saturday, and today's Monday, so it's all been a blur. And on top of that, the temperatures in the UK have been bitter. Now, if you're Canadian or Norwegian, you'll just laugh. Or if you're Russian, this will be like a Russian summer. You'll be walking around in your pants, you know. But for us Brits, it's pretty Arctic. So the first night I was in the van testing out in Cambridgeshire, it was -5, -6, I think, with wind chill. That's centigrade for you Yanks. But yeah, we were really testing the van and the water system and my sleeping bag, and it was nice to have the wood burner on. But the temperature's going to stay really cold this week when I'm leaving the UK. Remember, the UK is an island, not Ireland, but an island. So I have to get a ferry across. I think the tunnel's out, geeky fact, because of the gas I'm holding. Something to do with that. Anyway, I'm taking a boat over, much nicer. Might go via Amsterdam, might go via Calais. Haven't really sorted out my route. Might go through the Netherlands, might go through France, Germany. Need to be in Middle Europe because I need to see the guy that helps me with my apartment renting, and he also helps me with my tax, and a genius called Lucas, a very nice guy, but that's my deadline. And hopefully in March, things start warming up. Girls emerge from their hibernations, not just scurrying around tunnels and shopping centres. But I think it's a bit early for bare legs. But university's back, and Thomas Torero is horny. So, yeah, this week, or rather next week's podcast, will be from the continent. So, The Black Sheep Bandit. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I've spoken about Black Sheep for a while, as in holding the frame, doing your own thing, going your own way without becoming a lonely male in monk mode. But having women as the centre of your life, a beautiful thing in your life, but doing what the fuck you want. So saying bye-bye to the 9-to-5 and the office and the boss and the suit, and going to IKEA with your missus on a Saturday, although I have been to IKEA more than enough this week. But yeah, that's the meaning of when I say black sheep. I think it's a well-known saying, and I gave a talk on it. You can hear the audio on YouTube from Los Angeles a few years ago. The black sheep philosophy, and Day Game's very much that. I always say pick up is punk, yeah? It's basically a big fuck you to social circle, Tinder, bars and clubs, la-di-da. You're doing your own thing. You're dating girls half your age. You're non-monogamous. You're not promising girls things, so you're doing pick up and dating in lover mode. How many millions of times have I said that? All right, don't hide your dick. Don't pretend to be the boyfriend. That's called bait and switch. You have sex and then you do a runner. It's very common to do that in the beginning of your pickup journey. I did that a lot because that's the only mode you know. So you do 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 dates. You buy her chocolates and flowers and you naughty boys tell her you love her. You have sex and you run away. So you get the notch, but it's convoluted, all right? And the counterintuitive thing is to not hide your dick and present yourself as the lover, as the bad boy, as the cad, as the wandering nomad. And she knows. So in her brain, consciously or unconsciously, she says, okay, he's the fast fuck. He's the fuck boy. Okay, he's the guy I cheat on my husband or fiance or boyfriend with. Nobody knows, secret society. And therefore, I'll fuck him on the first or the second date. Okay, that's what we mean by lover and provider. And if you don't know the biology of it, once again, listen to Professor David Buss read his Evolution of Desire. It tells you why girls have lovers and providers. But coming back to the van. So that was the black sheep. But the black sheep bandit is me buying a van, a Citroen Relay, and living in it for at least 9 months of the year, driving around Europe, so I can have total freedom to turn up in cities, spend half my time in cities doing Day Game and number collecting and dating, and then the other half of the time going on wild adventures with those girls that I've already slept with, not in boyfriend mode, but in just 2-day adventure bubble mode, into the mountains, to the beach, to lakes, to forests, because that's what I enjoy. I say in that video, too many Day Gamers spend their whole lives in Zara, Topshop, H&M, Starbucks, Jamba Juice. You could say they're sheep. A lot of Day Gamers are sheep. They go to the same place, same street. They wear the same bloody thing. And, okay, maybe I created this monster. But I'm telling you, you don't have to do that. There's many cities I don't tell you about. Not because I want to keep them secret, just because I know that if I did tell you, you'd all just go there. And you wouldn't research things for yourself. So even though books like Torero Travels and Cold Calling exist, I say in those books, don't be a lemming. Don't be a sheep. There's many big cities in Russia. There's many big cities in even Spain. God, in North America, there's loads. So take your pick. Go on your own adventures. Do your own thing. You don't have to Day Game on the street. That's right. You don't need to jump in front of girls. You can try other forms. And once you've learned the scaffolding from Mystery Method, and the London Day Game model, attraction, comfort, seduction, you can mix it up. Shock horror, what I call 3D Day Game. Yeah, you can intertwine them, match it to your personality, make it your own. Otherwise, ironically, you're becoming a sheep. Now, when I tell guys about this van idea, the first thing they say is, are girls going to come back to a scruffy van? You know, scruffy Welshman with a van. Only a certain type of weirdo girl is going to come back. Yeah, that's not going to work. You're not going to get the high quality girls. So I address that in two videos that are already on YouTube. The first one is called Torero's RV Crib Tour. I'll link these below on my blog. And that's me in a scruffy van with Craig in the summer of 2016 going around Western Canada. And we picked up just fine. It was a really outrageous, stereotypical hippie van with Jimi Hendrix sprayed on the side. And girls were fascinated, especially the good, squeaky, clean girls. Okay, they love that kind of thing. They love going on an adventure. Lover, not provider. And I'm making fun of the guys with penthouses and, you know, the flashy suits with the pocket squares and the polished shoes and the watch and the car. Yeah, it's a form of getting girls, but I've said in the male sexual market value video, it's one that we're not, a route we're not going down, okay, until you're much, much, much older and that's all you've got, you know, until you're 90 and then, okay, you'll just be paying for hookers. But day game, we're using our charisma, we're using our charm, the shirt on our back and a big pair of balls, as I say in the day game hustle on documentary. So watch that one to show you how scruffy a van can be. And the second one is me staying in a shithole, tiny room, an awful kind of treehouse room, stained everything and leaks and pretty grim, in the middle of Moscow. I stayed there for a month in 2014, in the autumn of that year. And the video is called Anti-Provider Love Nest Logistics. And it's a parody tour, but I fucked, got a really hot girl in that room whose father designed the uniforms, or helped design the uniforms and the logos and the patterns for the Sochi Winter Olympics. She was a real princess. And in that room, I took her up that rickety ladder to this loft bed and fucked her good and proper. All right, so again, rich girls, clean living girls, educated girls, high quality girls, as some day gamers chase after. They even more want some debauchery, a little adventure. All right, with the plumber, with the tattoo artist, with the lead singer of a rock band. Okay, so don't go still having your purity fantasy of separating girls. Only some girls will come into the van, or if you have an RV, or you've got a tent, or you want to take a certain girl to a beach, or fuck her in a toilet. No, my friend, the posh Chelsea girls, you could say in London, they're the most coked up. All right, the little spoiled princesses. They are craving a bit of the old bad boy. So, once again, the irony of guys who do the Hollywood Hills mansion, buying tables and clubs, the Instagram game of dripping wealth. That, my friends, is provider game. And guys say, oh, well, you know, it works. You can use money to get girls. Yes, you can. I never denied provider game works, just like celebrity game or really good-looking male model game. It works. But if you haven't got it at your disposal, you don't need to go down that route. Unless you're much older, you're in your 60s and, you know, you want to flash your cash. Okay, good on you. But even then, why don't you develop your wit, your charisma, your confidence, your charm? Okay, why don't you take girls on adventures? Because not only is it fun for girls, but surprise, surprise, I love going on motorbikes and boats and doing crazy things and going paragliding and seeing the world and not just being in cities and day game locations. Because I've done enough of that in the last 8 years. So hence the Black Sheep Bandit, okay? And we're holding the frame, as I've said. We're not in the pen. We're doing our own thing. So the ultimate dream for most of us is being self-employed, earning money on the road or time on, time off, kind of oil rig scheduling. So you can earn a bit of money. I know one GP that does this, one doctor. Work intensively, earn your money, and then fuck off for 6 or 9 months of the year. Because some guys like being in a place, I do actually, for a month, 2 months, being with your family, being with your friends, a bit of stability, that's good. And then you can go off with some money in your pocket. And you wake up and you decide what to do. And now when I'm about 50, or maybe a bit before, I don't know, I'll be doing a crazy day game black sheep trip on a motorbike. So that will be motorbiking between cities and then staying in hotels, because I'll be a bit older then and I'll need perhaps a few more comforts. Maybe I won't. But for now, I'm happy to be in the van. When you see it on video, it will be episode 2. You'll realise I'm not really roughing it because I've got a double bed. I've got the wood burner. I've got gas tanks. I've got a water tank. It's cosy. I can cook, you know. I'll explain the secret shower system. I'll explain the toilet question because that's the biggest one after worrying whether girls will come back. So I'm not really roughing it, but yeah, it is a bit eclectic. It is a bit eccentric. Most people dream of it, and I said, fuck it, let's just do it. Did I spend ages planning it? No. I've had it in my mind, as that video says, for about 20 years, right, since my late teens, when I saw a guy moving up to Loch Ness to look for the Loch Ness Monster, and he just converted this mobile library, and he just quit his job, drove up to Scotland, and he's still there. I've met him a couple of times. He's called Steve. I'll try and get him on video. He's a very quirky character, but he was doing this long before Instagram and social media and the internet. He just said fuck it and he did it, and people called him mad and weird and strange, but he has a great time. Now his van is parked on a beach next to a pub in Dawes, if you know Loch Ness and Inverness. And for a time he was dating a bird from the pub. He has a lovely life. And most importantly, he does whatever the fuck he wants. He really does hold the frame. He's the black sheep. But fast forward to me flying home from Japan at the end of last year. And a few people had told me to read a book and I couldn't get hold of it. But finally I just got it as a PDF online. It's a bit of a dated book from an American author called Harry Brown, who went on to become a politician. But let's not talk about politics and forget the end of the book where he tries to link his philosophies to what would become his political career. Kind of ironic because the whole book is about doing what you want to do, unplugging, being the black sheep. And it's called, and it's changed many people's lives, and it changed my life on that aeroplane flight from Japan. It's called How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World by Harry Brown. And I'll write it below in the blog post. So if you're listening on YouTube or iTunes, click below to the blog post. And I'll be doing some podcasts and videos on that book because last year I was thinking, right, I'm going to write my next big book's going to be this Black Sheep Bandit Manual, if you like. And I might still write it. But then when I started reading this book from 20, 30, 40 years ago, I don't know, called How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World, basically Mr. Harry Brown, God love him, has written the book already, and he's not a day gamer, but it is phenomenal. Okay, it's practical, it's also his mindset, it's also his philosophy, his understanding of the world, how selfishness can be a positive thing. Hard to sum up in a few lines, but the title gives you a clue. We say unplugging from the matrix, a la Tim Ferriss, 4-hour work week, but this guy had worked it out years before. Okay, years before any of this was popular, you know, popular and trendy to be nomadic. How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World. So that book and this podcast and this project this year and the whole of what I do, grabbing life by the horns, day game, street hustling, it's all about avoiding herd behavior, herd mentalities, herd thinking, but most of all, importantly, herd behavior. Because let's say I hadn't discovered Day Game or read The Game in 2005. Let's say I had stayed married, because if you don't know, I was married at university, only for a couple of years, 2.5 years. I can talk about that another time. But let's say I had stayed married, or let's say I just got married in my mid-20s, like most of my friends. The majority of my friends, if not all of my school friends, are married. And are no longer kind of solid friends because they have kids and they live in different parts of the world. But let's say now I'm 38, I'm a married man. Look at my basic looks, okay? And if I hadn't developed my pickup skills and my confidence and my charisma and my charm and my knowledge of game, I'd be married, let's say, to a woman who's a 5, all right? Maybe she's 37, 36, so maybe she's a 4. Okay, harsh, but she's plump. Now, let's say I'm working as a manager for a water company, which is the scheme I started after university. I went from an Oxbridge graduate degree to straight away, different companies came around and said, would you like to come to this scheme or this fast track scheme? And I went to Thames Water. I was going to be a water manager in fucking London. So let's just imagine I'm 38, I've got my HB5 wife, she's 36. I'm a water manager, so working Monday probably through Saturday on call, at least 9 to 5. I'd have 2 kids, one of them would be about 10 by now, one of them would be 8. I'd live in a semi-detached house in somewhere like Reading or Scranton, I think you say, in Pennsylvania, in the US. I'd have a car, she'd have a car, because she'd have a job. We'd go on 2 holidays a year, you know, one to a water park and the other one would be a package all-inclusive to Spain. Lots of time going to see her parents and whatever. We'd be watching box sets, you know, Game of Thrones. I've never seen an episode of Game of Thrones, by the way, which tells you I'm a black sheep. But we'd have seen all the box sets, especially the one she loves. I'd follow a football team as, you know, my religion. That would be my release. And I'd live for the weekend. even though I wouldn't really be allowed to do many crazy things because of my wife, and I couldn't go to the pub anymore because my mates would have babies, and, you know, I'd just be going to B&Q, I'd be going to Whole Foods, I'd be doing things with the kids, I'd be wearing sensible clothes, you know, a bit of beige, a bit of grey, corduroys, tucking in my shirts, lots of ties. I'd be more and more overweight, more and more sedentary, probably 2 stone overweight by now. Is that enough for you? That's Tom Torero plugged in, all right, doing what everybody tells you to do. So the 2.4 children, whatever, the garden, the house, the mortgage, debt, a wife, putting up with it, saying this is what everyone else does, so let's just do that. Here's the opposite. It was a passage sent to me by a guy, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, you sent me an audio on email, and I found the original. And it goes like this. Once upon a time, a prince asked a beautiful princess, "Will you marry me?" The princess said, "No." And the prince lived happily ever after and rode motorbikes and fucked cute skinny girls and hunted and raced cars and went to naked bars and dated women half his age and drank beer, Jack Daniels and Captain Morgan, and drank the milk from the box and never heard bitching and went to rock concerts and kept his apartment and his favourite jeans and never got cheated on while working, and his family and his friends thought he was fucking cool as hell and had tons of money and left the toilet seat up. Okay, so the polar opposite. And we're not talking, disclaimer for this podcast once again, we're not talking about men going their own way. So getting angry with women and pick up and dating and saying, fuck it, I'm going to become a monk, or I'm just going to be into model railways or computer games. Fuck life, fuck women. No, not at all. We're fully embracing life, sucking the marrow out of life. Which poet said that? Walt Whitman, I think. Women are pretty much at the centre of my life, okay? Not in that chody pedestalising way, but I love women in the pickup sense, many women, and it's my job, it's my career, it's what I do, it's why I've got the van. It's what I spend my time thinking about. I love women. I love the way they look at me. I love their smell. I love their hair. I love their bodies. I love their giggles. I love their floppiness. I love it all, okay? I love their silliness. Their scattiness. I love their voices. So yeah, certainly not going your own way, but as that quote sums up, doing what the fuck you want and avoiding herd behavior. So the sports team or your religion or a political party or a political view being your whole being. One person says this, so you follow it to a T. Everyone else is wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Makes you really angry. That's herd behavior. Idolizing males. This is okay for females, yeah, I understand. But men idolizing other men. Pretty Scientology-ish, huh? Or football player. Why have you got his name, his number on the back of your shirt, right? If you're being sucked in easily to the cult of personality, you're worshipping that male leader too much. You're too much into Tony Robbins. Jesus, you're too much into Tom Torero. Stop and think. Why are you following everything I say? All right, this is just a podcast. It's just a channel. This is my life. This is my take on pickup. You adapt it for you. All right, this is not gospel. Herd behavior is following trends. So buying what people buy, wearing what people wear, doing what others do. You know, that stag do mentality, the tall group mentality. And as I said, even day gamers are guilty of this. Even though day game is meant to be punk, day gamers are pretty conservative, a lot of them, you know. They buy the same jacket and they go to the same city after they've heard it on a podcast or a video. They do the same street. They use my lines, which is fine. That's what they're there for. But they're just a crutch, all right? They're just stabilizers. Yeah, you should be making up your own pings and photo pings and teases and stories and routines in the city of your choice. Okay, and if you're starting a blog, it doesn't need to be like every other blog. You can create your own style, right? You can do your own thing. You can create your own video style. And I know in the beginning it's tempting. We've all done it, to follow other people's templates. But they are exactly that. Templates. Scaffolding. And as I say in Day Game 3.0, you need to take the scaffolding away. So just pause and think. The first big question you have to ask yourself is, how free are you? so you could work that one out. Can you walk away? Do you have fuck it money? How happy are you in your current situation? Because of course, if you are happy in your job, and you're with your wife and your kids and your dog, then again, this is not Cult of Personality Tom Torero saying quit all that, buy a van and drive off. No, the freedom is linked to happiness. So ask yourself how happy you are, how free you are, those two are related, and about the herd behavior that I just said. How much do you do what you want to do, i.e. you hold the frame, and how much are you doing what other people tell you to do, right? You're in somebody else's frame. And are you being non-monogamous in a kind of a honest quote-unquote way, where she's in on it, that secret society, my new book, or are you doing the bait and switch boyfriend fake thing and then running away, so pretending to many girls that you're their boyfriend? Are you non-monogamous with places? I've made a podcast on this. So I don't promise loyalty to any one city, all right? I don't cheat on cities, but I have lots of bases. So I love London, I love New York, I love Prague, I love Moscow, but I don't commit to one of them forever and ever and ever. And that's the whole idea of the van, that I can go between girls and I can go between cities, all right? Some things for you to think about to finish. Little quotes or lines I've jotted down. Conformity is the slowest form of suicide. I didn't write who said that, but you can find out. It's a good one. Collective fear causes herd behavior. So the sheep huddle together, the lemmings jumping off the cliff. Are you staying where you are through fear? And I have to be honest, when I picked up the van and he said, oh, you can just drive it, you know, around a bit and you can kip in it tonight. Cheerio. And for that first minute, 2 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour. And when I woke up the next day, I was like, fuck, I've committed to this. I've paid the money. I've got it. This is real. This is not just a dream anymore. I have to do it. And kidding it out now, I'm like, oh, I'd just like to stay where I am, really, you know, in a cozy house. Or I'd like to do what I've done for the last few years, just go to Airbnb and airports and things I know. And, you know, I won't have to stoke a fire. I won't have to do this. I won't have to do that. But then I think, fuck it. All right. Fear's holding you back. I'd stagnate. You could already sense that it was getting a bit samey. So the Black Sheep Project wakes you up, wakes me up, keeps it fresh. And yeah, are you in someone else's frame or are you holding the frame? And I jotted down to say this is true. It's we're not talking about being the, you know, how do you say, the fashionable non-conformist. You know, where it's cool to not follow trends, but everyone else looks the same. Like Hell's Angels, I always quote this example. Sure, they're fucking cool, they're rebels, but they have chapters and leaders and rules and they all wear the same thing. So is that really escaping the herd? Kind of, but no. It's the same with following a rock group and screaming somebody's name, all right, or idolizing a pop star. Even if they're a fucking badass rock star, they're the rock star and you're following them. Does that make sense? So ironically, the fashionable nonconformist is the most conformist. So you have to be careful, and I had to be careful when I was designing the van and thinking about this project. Am I just copying other non-conformists to be cool? So, got to develop my own style, my own video style. That's finding your voice, and that comes through with your pickup, and it comes through with your lifestyle, okay? And you might have guessed by now, if you follow my material, you follow my history, you follow my style of, you know, no wings, really, for my day game. Traveling buddies, yeah. And having a beer and hanging out with guys and seeing different guys, yeah. But doing day game with other people, no. Not since the early days of day game. I like to be in the zone, tiger zone. I'm not a team player. As I've said, I never liked team sports. I preferred mountain climbing, or I used to be a solo road runner. I didn't even like running groups. I just used to like running alone until I fucked up my back and my knees. But yeah, it was me against what... the road, or me against the mountain. I don't delegate well. That's why I don't have a big team. I haven't taken on 20 instructors and, you know, world domination. You could say it's selfish, but I encourage you to read that book. Yeah. How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World by Harry Brown. Cause it, when I read that, it was like a hand coming through the page. As C.S. Lewis used to say, we read to know we are not alone. And when I read that book on the plane, I smiled for most of it. Not many books make me do that, but I was nodding. So thank you, Mr. Harry Brown. You confirmed that I am not alone in these thoughts. And when you read the reviews for that book, interestingly, lots of people say, fucking terrible book, you know, selfish, encourages this selfish behaviour. But so half of you will like it and half of you won't. It's a bit like the film Into the Wild, or if you've read the book. And half of the people that watch that movie say, God, what a selfish prick, you know, selling all his things and going off into Alaska. And half of the people that watch it nod and smile. Okay, so that was the end of podcast 142. I leave it over to you now in the comments section on my blog, tomterrera.com, or on YouTube. I will be doing free consultations in the van because I've got a spare seat, so you can come in, bring me some Guinness, bring me some food. We'll sit down, we'll have a chat. I'll look at your text messages. I can't do it for hours and hours and hours if there's lots of you, but that's part of what I'll be doing this year, free consultations. I don't want anything. I'm not teaching live apart from with Mystery and Baxter in Russia, so I'm not after business. But it's nice to meet their gamers that way. Let me know what cities in Europe, Ireland and Europe, you want me to come to. I know Southern Ireland is in Europe. I guess Northern Ireland is in Europe, yeah. But you know what I mean. I can take the ferry over from Portugal, really, all the way I can drive to Ukraine, up to Norway, down to Greece. I'll be going everything in between. Just let me know the city you're in. And if lots of people, for example, say Berlin, 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 I'll stop the van in Berlin. We'll do free consultations. I'll give a talk if there's enough of you. My disclaimer for that, if you want me to give a talk in your city, please club together, you day gamers, even night gamers, and sort me out a venue. I can't be paying for venues. it gets very expensive. So if you find me a venue, even somebody's house, or, you know, a hall or whatever, I'll turn up and I'll give a talk for free. No problem. Again, buy me some food, buy me a Guinness, buy some of my books, whatever. Other thing related to Black Sheep. If you're into adrenaline and adventures on motorbikes or quads or skydiving or flying or river rafting or whatever, as ever, let me know. So it's better for that to send me an email, tom@tomterrera.com. I've already got some from, one is a Czech guy, he's a pilot. We're going to fly around in the summer, but things like that. It'll be great for adventure and filming and as part of the series. It's about hot girls, but it's also about saying fuck it and, you know, taking calculated risks. So there we have it. I shall stop there because we are over time. I'm exhausted. A few more days and then probably on snowy Thursday or Friday, I shall be taking the boat to mainland Europe. But cheers for supporting what I do, listening to these podcasts, supporting me in whatever way you can. Just buying a book, or if you're really feeling the love, then consider buying Stealth Seduction, my video course online. But enough of the upselling. Keep grabbing life by the horns. Keep licking the lid of life. Keep holding the frame. Be a black sheep bandit, my friend. I'll speak to you next week. Ta-da.